Genesis chapter 24. Last week, I told you about good and bad masters. This week, I wanted to tell you about good and bad servants. I may not have time to tell you about bad ones, but I do want to let you know about a good one. Genesis chapter 24. You think you can hold your attention span for about 5 or 6 minutes if I read the chapter to you? We shall see. It's so beautiful, it's hard to leave anything out. But that you might understand Genesis 24, you have to look first of all at Genesis chapter 15. Turn to Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And he that shall be steward or possessor of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This man shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So this man, of whom we read, and he is unnamed in Genesis 24, his name is Eliezer, and he is the steward, he is the one that is in control of all the possessions of Abram at this time. So now, in chapter 24, if I gave a title to this chapter,
it would be A Bride for God's Son. You say that this is Abraham's
son. Yes, but perhaps if we go along, you will see. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his servant, the elder of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou wilt not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land.
Must I needs bring my son
again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my nativity, and who spake unto me,
and who sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He will send his
angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife for my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only, thou shalt not bring my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, having all 50 things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia of the city of Nahor. And he made the camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, send me, I pray thee, good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the fountain of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water.
And let it come to pass
that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed
for thy servant Isaac.
And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master? And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher
upon whose shoulder.
And if I check it right, she is Isaac's first cousin once removed. See if you can figure that out. And the damsel was very
fair to look upon,
a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the fountain and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, give me to drink, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Remember, there are 10 camels. And do you know how much water camels can drink? And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again
unto the well to draw
and drew for all his camels. And the man looked steadfastly on her, holding his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden ring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for a hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who hath not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master.
As for me, the Lord hath led me in the way
to the house of my master's brethren, or as the King James says so beautifully, as I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, verse 28. And the damsel ran and told her mother's house according to these words. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the fountain. And it came to pass, when he saw the ring and the bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the fountain. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded the camels, and he gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of his men that were with him. And there was set food before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife,
came to my master when she was old.
And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto thy father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife for my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son, of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from mine oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give her not to thee, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the fountain and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if thou now do prosper my way, which I go,
behold, I am
standing by the fountain of water, and let it come to pass that the maiden that comest forth to draw, to whom I shall say, give me, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher to drink. And she shall say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the fountain and drew,
and I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee, and she made haste, and let down her pitcher from her shoulder,
and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I did drink, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the ring upon her nose, and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed my head, and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord, the God of my father Abraham, who had led me in the right way, to take my master's brother's daughter for his son. If you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me.
That I may turn to the right hand.
Or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. He cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he bowed himself down to the earth unto the Lord. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver,
and jewels of gold, and raiment, and bound unto Rebecca.
And he gave also to her brother, and to her mother, precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master.
And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel
abide with us a few days, at the least, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebecca, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will.
And they sent away
Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, who was Deborah, and Abraham's servant, and his man. And they blessed Rebecca, and said unto her, Our sister, be thou the mother of thousands, of 10,000, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them. And Rebecca arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca, and went his way. And Isaac
came from the way of
Beer Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the land of the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she alighted from the camel. And she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said,
It is my master.
And she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the inspired Word of God, not only as the Word of God, but for the beauty of it as a piece of literature. Let us know our God that is children.
We read stories of Noah
and the flood, of David and Goliath, of Joseph in prison, and all of these stories have thrilled our hearts
in the time of the children. And
also, we have read this day the story about the servant of Abraham seeking a wife for his master's son.
We thank you for the beauty of it. And we pray that by thy Spirit,
thou shalt enable us to say a little bit that shall illumine the hearts of those who have listened.
And give us a blessing from this portion of the Word of God, we pray. Indeed,
we thank you for this day, for the fellowship of the saints,
for the remembrance
of thy Son, to know
that
Jesus has said, I am he that liveth, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And so our God, as we have heard him say also, he opened unto them,
he interpreted unto them all the scriptures
from Moses
and all the prophets.
So thy Son, Father,
interpreted unto them
some portions like this that we've read tonight. So bless our hearts, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse,
and glorify the name of thy Son,
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. If I were going to
do as I told you about last week and tell you about good masters and bad masters and then tell you about a bad servant, well,
this week I was going to tell you about good masters and bad masters, but tell you not about a bad servant, but about a good servant.
Do you realize that Abraham was intending
to take this man whom he
sent on a journey to find a wife for his son? He intended to make him heir of his household and bestow all that he had upon him. But as commendable as this servant is, he said, God is not going to make
this man your heir, but you're going to have your own son as an heir.
And then we know the story
after that.
He tried concerning
Ishmael and brought it, not Ishmael.
Not a servant, but I'm going to give you your only begotten son. And that should be enough to point us to a direction that tells us that this story contains not one teaching only,
a moral
picture,
but also
it contains a prophetical picture. For this reason, in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us about Abraham taking his son, his only son Isaac, and offering him for a burnt offering upon the mount. And then it tells us to show us
that
Abraham and Isaac are a type of the father and his son. It says that he started to slay his son, but he was prevented. But it said he did receive his son Isaac back in a type, and the word is in a parable. So it means that when I look at Abraham and Isaac, I'm looking at a picture of the father and his son. Who, with any degree of discernment, could read Genesis 22 and not see the father and his son in that chapter?
And what was so remarkable is
this.
I told you
about the Lord Jesus going forth bearing the cross for himself. Do you realize that when Abraham took his son to sacrifice him, do you know who bore the wood upon his shoulder? You say, it was Isaac. Of course. Here is God showing us the father and the son and the cross upon his son's shoulder. God hints at these things, and if the Spirit will guide you, you can see in these things the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. Now, what happens is this, that after the Lord Jesus is raised from the dead, the next thing that the Father wants to do for the Son, having provided salvation for mankind, he wants to seek a bride for his Son. And it's 22 of Genesis is a picture of the Son at Calvary. So Genesis 24 is a picture of the Spirit of God searching out a bride for his Son. But it is like this. Whenever you read in the Old Testament about something historical, something geographical, first understand it historically and geographically. For instance, the tabernacle is a picture of flesh. It says in John 1, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And what happens is this. Some sort of like it They get the clue as to what that tabernacle is.
They forget all about the measurement of the tabernacle
and what it meant to the nation of Israel for all those years before the temple was built, and they just look at it spiritually. But you have to look at it both ways, because not only is this a picture of God seeking a bride for his son, it is also excellent instruction for any son seeking wife.
And I will try to bring that out
as well. When it says,
concerning the tabernacle, there
it had fine linen,
and gold,
and silver, and brass, all of those things are literal. And they had the offering, they had the brazen altar, the altar of burnt offering, they had that. And they had the brazen laver, and they had the golden, or altar of incense, all of these things are literal things. But then you look and you see that
those literal things are pictures of spiritual things. It's a tabernacle on earth.
Pictured things in heaven, the things on earth were as true of it as the things in heaven. And so we can look at this, first of all, and see the way that each father should seek a bride for his son. And also, a father should seek a husband for his daughter.
Because here is one
of the things that God
expects of a Christian man. Because first of all, it's not God seeking a bride for his son, but it's
Abraham seeking a bride for his son, Isaac. And the first thing you see concerning Isaac is this. And these are simply moral characteristics, human characteristics of this son, Isaac, that is not to be compared emotionally with his son, Jacob. Why, Jacob is full of surprises. Not is he anything like Esau, but Isaac is a very quiet son, a submissive son. You never read anything that he did contrary to the will of his father, Abraham. And I know how old he is now. I could have read you other passages, and you will find out that his mother lived to be, what brother can tell me how Sarah lived to be?
She's the only woman whose age is told in the Bible. How old?
Very good, but I see him looking down. Very good, Dan. I'll accept the answer anyway. She lived to be 127. All right. She had Isaac when she was 90. That means that when Isaac was 37 years old, his mother died. And now,
it's 3 years
have transpired, and you'll find that Isaac is 40 years old when his father decides to get a bride for him. Now, how many of you want to wait that long? Most of us don't. Nowadays, why, we immediately want to rush into a thing. And not only so, who would ever consider consulting father or mother if you find a man? The thing that's wrong is this. You say, I would like to consult them, but they're liable to say no and not like it. And so you say nothing to them. But what happens is this. I tease people telling them I am a missionary to the Indians. Last month, I was a missionary to the Eastern Indians in Ohio, and now to the American Indians here in Pembroke. And the wonderful thing is this, that the ones up in Dayton, Ohio, when they have sons and daughters, their sons and daughters together, and they seek a bride and a husband for one another. That is the thing that is so good. They do not let the son just go out and choose anyone he pleases,
or the daughter.
It's not compulsory,
as it would
be in India. But it's not compulsory. But what happens is that they bring these together, and the fathers get together and discuss the virtues of
the son and of the daughter, and then they talk things over.
Well, I believe that my son and your daughter would make a good match, and then they tell the children, and quite often, the children accept the will of their father. Now, that's a beautiful thing. You say, yes, but it might not work out. I tell you this, that even among Christians,
working out by their errors, many are more divorces among Christians
than there are among the unsaved. And so they chose it for themselves, and it failed over 50% of the time. Do you think it could fail anymore if the father chose a bride for your son or a husband for your daughter? And so take the counsel of your father and your mother. Now, some would never let their children go. But what it says in 1 Corinthians 7, that a father still has a say-so about the decree as to who his daughter is going to marry and whom his son is going to marry. Keep that in mind. And here is what is so commendable about Abraham.
You'll find that Esau, the
son of Rebekah, he was one that was constantly marrying women that his parents did not want him to marry. And also, think of Samson. Do you remember how Samson was out looking for a woman, and he found one that was a heathen woman? And his father and mother tried to tell him, why do you have to marry that woman? Can't you find a woman of the children of Israel? And Samson dismissed it and said, get her for me, for she pleases me well. And if you read the rest of the story, you'll find out how tragic it was.
No. In the case of Abraham, thank God for
Abraham. And I'm telling you about this commendable servant, just as you have Philemon's servant Onesimus, who was a bad servant, but turned out to be a good servant, you find out that the whole life long of
Eliezer,
Abraham's servant, you never read of any failure of his running away and having to be forgiven and restored.
But he was so commendable that at the very beginning, Abraham, before he had his son, said,
this my servant is going to be mine heir. Think of the trust he would have in that man. And so Abraham now is trusting him with the most important thing in the world. Why? Because if you and I
have a wife and children, it is their name.
But whether your line carries on or my line carries on, it is of no consequence. But God had promised Abraham that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and your increase shall be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. And so there had to be this marriage
to the will of God.
And what is so sad is this. I've spoken to you about this servant and how commendable he is. And you would think, from what I read you about Rebecca, how commendable she was. What women do you find possessing those attributes today? Today, young people, I've seen them so often, just say, would you get me a drink of water? Get it for yourself. But instead, here is this young lady.
And the serpent has already been told.
And they already prayed to God, and he said, when I ask for a drink of water, let her give me a drink of water, and then let her offer the water my camel. I do not know if there was one person who was energetic enough and dedicated enough and polite enough to give a man a drink of water. That's one thing.
But then to go
the drink to 10 camels. And yet, that is what she did. And she's reverent, and she runs home, and she speaks to her parents, and everything is so beautiful. And two, when she sees her prospective husband for the first time, you see her reverent demeanor, you would say, this is going to be a wonderful wife. But the woman turned out to be, later in life,
one that was her way. She had
twins, Jacob and Esau, and she loved Jacob, whereas Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his venison. And so she said, I'm determined my son is going to get the blessing. She couldn't trust God. She said, this is the way you are to get the blessing. And need I tell you about the lies she told her son, the peril, how she counterfeited
his body
with
the herring goat skin so that
her own husband would be deceived.
A terrible wife.
In that sense, she turned out to be
very
so shrewd, yes. Because her brother Laban was a shrewd man. There was only one man who could ever outdo Jacob in shrewdness, and that was Laban. And Laban would have impoverished Jacob. And Jacob confessed, he said, "You have changed my wages 10 times. He said, "Except the Lord had been with me, you would have sent me away empty." And so God had to intervene. In this family, there is a cunning, there is a grasping.
And alas, many times, the cunning is passed on,
not for good, but for bad. So here is the woman that looks so promising at the first, but later on, her husband is a quiet man.
He can be deceived,
and he is deceived.
So
here is the prayer that this servant of Abraham has offered. That's what's so commendable about him.
You'll remember that Onesimus was one who ran away from all the religion of his master Philemon.
The church was in his house. But here is one who is as devoted to God as his master Abraham is, and he prays to God
that God will guide him in the way.
And he's unashamed to tell about his prayer to God. And what is so remarkable is this, that he says, "Lord, I do not want
any miraculous
occurrence like an angel coming from heaven." He said, "But would you show me according to circumstances whether this is the woman or not the woman?" Now, that's a good thing sometimes. Some people can pray that way, and they can twist the circumstances the way they want to. They say, "Oh yes,
God is in this." Well, in the case of this servant,
God was in it. And he said, "I want it done this way." And God brought it to pass. Do you see again how I told you about the providence of God? We are thinking that we have to do
everything in our power. We have to do all being in the way.
God led me. That's what you have to do. You have to do things according to God's will, and God will work everything out according to his will. And here is he praying. And remember this, it's so good. At times you and I, as we have prayed today, and we pray at night, have you ever thought of this? When an unexpected situation confronts you, to pray while that situation is unfolding? That's what it said the servant did. He said, "And I prayed in my heart." It's just like Nehemiah, when he was speaking to his sovereign, he was praying in his heart.
And so there are times that you pray in your closet, but when something seems to be the will of God, it's good to pray at that time as well.
You do not have to say to your friend, "Excuse me a moment, I want to pray in case this is God's will,"
but you pray in your heart and you continue in a normal way. And this is what happened. So at the first, God met all the demands that his master Abraham had placed upon him,
and that Eliezer had mentioned in his prayer to God. They're all met, and then he starts bestowing gifts upon the woman, and upon the parents, and upon the relatives of Rebecca. What does this mean?
I have to bring a little bit to hold.
I've been telling you most of it that is literal.
But at the same time,
what happens is that when the Spirit of God woos an unsaved sinner to become the bride of his son,
the Father's son woos
us with the riches of God. He takes some of the precious things of God and he gives us somewhat. In this instance, it was a nose jewel. Now,
finally, the things of Genesis
around. They got nose jewels, and they got ear jewels and tongue jewels. They wear them everywhere. But understand that they were doing this thousands of years ago. But what is the beauty of it is that it is a picture of the shoes of God.
When a sinner is being worn for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God is joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will take
something of value, shoes
of value, and give it. And then something else. And he will
try to influence not with material things, but with spiritual things, to show the wealth of his son.
The position of his son.
The
former and the latter glory of the soul. And this is what that
servant does. Please read and see all the things that he talks about Isaac. And this is why you know. It says that he has an only son whom he's begotten in his old age, and he has given him all that he has. And the New Testament says that God has made him heir of all things.
And so you see the love of Abraham for Isaac and what he's given to him. And you see what the Father has given his son and what he has determined it should be true concerning his son. And also by God with his servant. He says,
I ask discretion. If I make the proposal and give gifts and try to win her, if she is not prepared to accept your son upon the conditions I lay down, shall I compromise your son and bring him to her in that heathen land?
Or must I insist that that woman come to
him in the promised land? And Abraham said, just what you said, by no means carry my son hence. Now what happens is this, alas.
Here are those, and they look over the one that they look upon me. And in their hearts they know.
All of you who are unmarried, you know you're not to marry someone who is unsaved. You know that you are not to marry, to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know that. The one that you marry is to love the Lord Jesus as the Lord Jesus is loved by you. You know that. And God says, if this one will not meet these conditions, by no means compromise my son. I wonder if parents tell their children those things.
I spoke just recently to a marriage that I
right?
And then when I spoke to this couple, I said, no one will tell you about
marriage, that until death you depart. No, I was never taught anything about it. How sad. Well, Abraham had laid down conditions as to whom his son would marry, and also he said, if she will not meet those conditions, do not bring her. Now, I want to tell you about Isaac. Isaac was quite prepared to wait until he's
3 years old,
until his father sits around. The finding bride for him. And what is another beautiful touch is this, that Isaac loved his mother Sarah, the love of a son for his mother, and he loved her, and she had died when he was 37 years old, and she had been dead 3 years. And finally, when the wife comes, it says that Isaac was comforted for his mother's death. That also is a beautiful touch. Nothing spiritual, but simply a son that loves his mother, and the mother loves that son. Here is a family with love. I need not tell you about the devotion of Abraham, because God in heaven knew it. He said, Abraham, Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. God knew the love of Abraham for his son Isaac, and that is why in a coming day he knew his love for his own son, and that sin would require that Christ be separated from his father. And so when the Father in heaven says to this Father on earth, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and offering for a burnt sacrifice upon the mount that I shall tell thee of, think of the heart of God thinking of a coming day when he would take his only son and have him offered upon the cross of Calvary. These things are so intermingled that you cannot separate them. So here, finally, this is the issue. When Laban and Bethuel and the family hear what the servant is told, they say, well, this thing is of God. We can't contradict it. We see the hand of God in this. They said, what we'll do is consult our daughter. And Laban said, look, we want you to stay around for 10 days. We want to enjoy you before you go to a distant land, and we do not know if we'll ever see you again. We want you to stay 10 days. But the servant, and I thank God for this, he was a picture of the Spirit of God, and he wants us, it says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. And the Spirit of God does not want you to wait and wait and wait before you trust Christ and become his bride. And so this servant, when they say, give us 10 days, he says, not 10 days. He says, when we get up tomorrow morning, we're going to leave then. And they turn to the daughter and they say, we'll ask her. And they say, wilt thou go with this man? And she says, I will go. And the matter is settled. And do you understand that when the Spirit of God draws a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, did we not hear these past weeks? Come, follow me. And the rich young ruler, his countenance fell, and he walked away. He would not come. But here is this servant, and he says to the woman, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. You see this picture throughout the Old and the New Testament. But it is the first, and I told you this before, it is the first
sea of a Christian marriage.
Five C's in a Christian marriage. First of all, there is consent. There is covenant. There is ceremony. There is copulation. And there is consummation. Those five C's make up a Christian marriage. Because you go and say, will you have this man? I will have this man. But it's upon this condition. You see, this woman isn't going to be taken upon any condition. But all these conditions are laid down. There is a covenant. Things that you agree to. And if a woman says, yes, I will marry you, but I'm not going to let you bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then she's not prepared to accept the covenant. And then there is a Christian ceremony. And then there is the consummation after marriage. And then it says, what God hath joined together, let not man put together or put asunder. And so you have the Father consecrating that marriage. So here is a little bit about the Spirit of God seeking a bride for God's Son, and at the same time, it is a picture of a godly father seeking a godly wife for his son. Let's remember all of these things, both physical and spiritual. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that wherever we open a page of your word, there is instruction. Lord, as to how to be a good servant, as to how to be a good master, as to what a marriage is to be, what is expected, all of those things are there. And we pray that we shall take them to heart, our God, that there shall be character to it, that we shall take over our lives and be determined that by the grace of God, your good and acceptable and perfect will shall be done. So let us learn concerning our lives on earth and concerning
the life of your soul
and his bride in heaven, we pray.
As we can have all into thy hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.